You know, I don't think I've ever worked a job where there wasn't some sort of stereotypes that we had in the business that I worked. You probably have them in your field too. For instance, when I delivered newspapers, I could tell you the people that were going to be really, really picky about where the paper went based on the condition of their lawn. That they had a really, really nice, well-manicured lawn. I knew that these are the guys, they're going to want their paper in between the storm door and the front door or something like that, or a certain spot on the front porch. I remember when I waited tables, I could tell by looking at a table that this table is going to be horrible, and they're going to be horrible tippers, and they're going to ask for everything. Usually it was high schoolers. So if you're a high schooler here, you guys are horrible. No, not really. We love you, but you are horrible tippers, and you're horrible to wait on. When I worked in medicine as an office manager at an eye doctor's office, we could just tell by looking at people whether they were going to be on Medicare or not. I don't know how. We just knew, like, these people are Medicare, they're not. You just figure these things out. And you may not have known this, but in ministry, pastors, we kind of have little stereotype things too. You probably didn't know that. That's okay. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. Most pastors talk with great fondness about their first church. If you talk to different pastors, man, my first church, it was great. They loved me so well. I've got all these pastor friends, and they'll go on and on. Their first church, they were wonderful. Here's all the wonderful things they did. But the second church, everybody warns you about the second church. It's like the sophomore slump for pastors. The second church is horrible. Okay, I've had several friends tell me, man, they try to kick me out of my second church in my first month. I have people say, you know, man, second church, it's really tough. It's really hard. You get so used to being loved so well in your first church, and then it's like culture shock to go to your second church because they're just mean. You guys may not, everybody might not know this, but this is my second church. And by God's grace, that has not even been close to what our experience has been. So not all stereotypes are true, right? You all have been a joy for us as we look forward to 2017. We look back on our last few months of 2016 here at PBC with great joy and gratitude, thanking God for you. This church has not been one of those churches. You could be faking it, so we'll see. It's not been one of those churches where it's just been a dread. It's not hard for me to serve you. One of the first things Dale said to me when I met him was, these folks are easy to love, and he was right. So as one of the things I like to do as a pastor, as I look to a new year for us as a church family, is I just want to share my heart and kind of a vision for us for the new year. And really, all I want us to do for 2017, maybe not all I want us to do, but the big thing I want us to do for 2017 is just to keep doing what you all have been doing for a long time. And that's just for us to keep loving each other. I want you to go in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter is writing this letter to a group of Christians that are dispersed throughout different regions, and there's Gentiles and Jews and lots of different local churches. He's writing this letter to them, and a big part of what he's talking about is suffering. Christians in that world and that day, and really even to the present day, 2,000 years later, we suffer, sometimes more than others. Some of you have told me that really your suffering didn't start until after you became a Christian, and then it got really hard. Well, that's kind of the Christian experience for a lot of us. The Christian life is hard. The Christian life is difficult. And when you pile on top of the normal difficulties of following Jesus, when you pile on top of that persecution and great hardships, it's really, really difficult. And so Peter writes this letter to encourage these believers that are spread around the known world, encouraging them to suffer well, to follow Jesus in His footsteps. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, he shares something about love that I really want us to latch onto this new year. What I want us to do, we'll start reading in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. We'll read all the way through the end of verse 11. And then we'll go back and look at verse 8 again. That's the key verse I want to hone in on this year, that we as a church would just keep loving. Here's what the text says, beginning in verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's go back to verse 8 one more time. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. You pray with me? Father, again we come to You and we ask for help to understand Your Word. But we want to do more than just understand it this morning. God, we are in greater danger if all we do is just understand it and we don't obey it, don't apply it. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask with Your help that You would help us to understand, help us to obey. God, I pray that we would just keep loving. God, I pray for those that are covenant members of Pocosin Baptist Church. May we keep loving each other in 2017. Pray for our guests here this morning. I pray that as we just sung, as we listened to Your Word, we would see a special type of love here in this place. And God, I pray that You would use the love of the body to draw unbelievers to faith in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would preach louder than I can preach and do what I cannot do and speak to the heart. I pray these things in Jesus' good name. Amen. About 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions every year. Just for reference, about 1 in 3 Americans watch the Super Bowl. So more Americans make New Year's resolutions than watch the Super Bowl every year. So this is just kind of the thing. As a new year is upon us, we look at the new year in front of us and we think, yes, I'm going to create a new goal that I'm not going to keep. Because 8% of people who make New Year's resolutions actually keep them. So for those of you that woke up this morning and wrote out your resolutions for 2017, maybe you even went the extra step and put it on social media, good for you. We're all just waiting to watch you fail. Just kidding. We love you. I'm not going to give you a resolution for 2017, PBC. And I'm not going, at this point, I'm not going to plead with you to do something that you're not already doing. What I want to encourage you to do is to keep doing what you've been doing. I think that's what Peter's after in this verse. You notice he says, above all, he doesn't say start loving each other. Guys, you just need to love each other. You just start this. You're not doing it. You need to love. No, he says, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So my vision, my heart for PBC in 2017 is that we just keep loving. We don't have the slides up this morning, but you can follow along. We've got an outline in the bulletin. I just want to show you 8 features. I know it's 8, that's a lot. But 8 features of this type of love in this text that I want to see continue at PBC this year. And I want to see it continue through you. 8 features. Number 1. This is a willful love, so we should just keep loving willfully. Willfully. When we use the word love, we often refer to our emotions, our feelings. The word that When we say we love something, we're often talking about an emotional attachment to something. But that is not the normal way that the New Testament uses the word love. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves, and he talks about four different words that the Greeks used for love. First is called storge. It's not in the New Testament, at least not officially, although it's kind of referenced. But storge was a word used for love, and it refers to a family love, right? So this is the love that a son has for his mom, love that a daughter has for her daddy. This is love that brothers and sisters have for each other, family love, storge. The second type of love is eros. Should sound familiar to us. It sounds like the word erotic. This is romantic love. This is love that a husband has for his wife. Romantic love. And then there's phileo love. This is the love of, it's brotherly love. You know the city Philadelphia. It's called the city of brotherly love. It comes from that word in the Greek language, phileo. It's a brotherly love. It's the love of friendship. It's not the love of looking and staring in each other's eyes and over dinner. It's the love of staring in the same direction, walking side by side for the same goal. And then there's a fourth word, the word agape. This is a word for love that is unlike any other type of love ever known to humanity. This is not a love of emotion. This is a love of the will. This is the love of choice. You cannot have storge love, family love, with everybody. Because not everybody is in that relationship with you. You should not have eros love towards most everybody. But you must have agape love if you're a Christian. You must. This is sacrificial, willful choosing to love. This is not loving out of the abundance of your emotions. Man, when my kids wake up in the morning and they run down to me and they wrap their little hands and arms around my legs and hug me as tight as they can and say, "Good morning, Daddy," I'm overflowing with love for them. They're easy to love in that moment. That's not the type of love we're talking about here. We're talking about the type of love when it hurts. The type of love that you have for people that you don't like very much. The type of love that you have towards people that aren't very lovely or lovable. It's a willful love. Just keep loving willfully. So I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters and friends here this morning, to choose to love. To choose. I will love these people this year. It's a willful love. Secondly, it's a supreme love. Just keep loving supremely. Notice he says in verse 8, above all. Above all. Of all the things that Peter could say, he says, this is the thing that's above all. This is the most important thing. I think he repeats himself, in a sense, later on in the verse when he says, love covers a multitude of sins. What does that mean? I think it means you can mess up a lot of stuff, but if you love, it'll be all right. I don't think that's meant to excuse foolishness or sinfulness. I think his point is that you better not mess up love. Isn't this what Paul says? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you have tongues and prophecies and gifts, but you do not have love, you are a clanging cymbal. Isn't this what Jesus says? When Jesus says the two greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Paul also puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. These three abide, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? love. There will come a day, friend, Christian, when you will no longer need faith, because you will see. There will come a day when you will no longer need hope, because your hope is realized. It's right in front of you. But there will never be a day when you will no longer need love. Love. Supreme. It's above all. This means that as a church family, we are going to make mistakes in 2017. We are going to stumble. I am going to stumble. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm going to hurt your feelings this year at some point. Let's just get it over with right now. I'm just kidding. I'm going to hurt your feelings. You're going to be disappointed by me and I by you. We're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to annoy each other. We're going to get frustrated. We're going to become impatient. But if we love, our love will cover over all of those things. Let us mess up everywhere, but in our command to love our God and love each other. Can I give you a challenge for 2017? Here's what I want you to do. Some of you will do this, some of you won't, but I think that you should think about this. I want you to pray about this, okay? I want you, at some point every week, to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 on your mind or right in front of you. And I want you to plan for the upcoming week. I'm going to deliberately, intentionally show love to one person in this way. Plan to love each other. 1 Peter 4:8 challenge. That's my challenge to you for 2017. That at some point, every week, 52 times, that's all you got to do it. Every week, you look to the week ahead and you say, how might God use me to show this type of love to someone in my life next week? Love is supreme. Just keep loving supremely. Number three, just keep loving specifically. Just keep loving specifically. Notice he says, above all, keep loving one another. One another. Who is the one another in this text? I would submit to you that the one another is the body of Christ. I think we could even get more specific. I think that the one another, the best way to obey 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, is for you to love willfully, deliberately, intentionally, supremely the people in your local church. I think that's the most faithful way to obey this verse. For some of you here, this is not your local church. So what I'm going to ask you to do in this sermon, I would ask you to do that in your local church, in your Sunday school class, in your small group. If you're here and PBC is your church home, I'm asking you to do this specifically towards this body of believers. If you're here and you're kind of on the fringes, you're dating PBC, you're not sure if you're ready to take the plunge yet, I would plead with you, commit to a local church. And if PBC is not your home, that's great, but find a good one that preaches the Bible. And stick there and dive in and plug in and covenant with those members and say, these are the people, when Scripture says to me, love one another, it's talking about these guys. God doesn't give random, arbitrary, vague commandments. He gives specific ones. Love one another. Just look at a couple of ways Peter uses the word love in his letter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another. I think he's referring to love within the local church. Chapter 2, verse 17. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. fear God, honor the emperor. In chapter 3, verse 8, he says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, and brotherly love. Love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then finally, in chapter 5, verse 14, he says, greet one another with the kiss of love. I'm not suggesting we apply that literally today. But I think the principle of loving each other within the local church, I think that that's what Peter's after. So here's a couple of ways that we can apply this. Now, let me do this first. Some of you perhaps hear that and you say, wait a minute. Preacher, I thought we're supposed to love the lost. I thought we're supposed to love the world. Yes, yes, we are. However, I think that we're supposed to start with our church family and then let it spread outwards. Let me give you an example. If I lived in a neighborhood full of hungry children, and I spent my paycheck every week to feed all the hungry children in my neighborhood while the children in my own home were starving, would I be a good friend? Good for me to fill my children up and never care for the hungry children around me? No, that wouldn't be good either. But you start at home and you work outwards. You feed your children at home and then you go together as a family and you feed the hungry children in your neighborhood, right? Or you feed the children in your home and the people in the neighborhood see, wow, there's a family. That's what a family looks like. They love each other. I want to be like that one day, right? I think that's the same principle we're talking about in the local church. The song we sung, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We're supposed to love each other so fervently, so ferociously, that the world sees that love and they want a part of it. Can I tell you something? I've actually seen this happen. I've seen unbelievers, didn't grow up in Christian homes, didn't believe the gospel, didn't believe that God created the world, didn't believe that Jesus was a real man, didn't believe that Jesus really rose from the dead, come into a church family and see the love there. And I've seen over time, skeptical unbelievers watch that love and say, I want a part of that. And over time, they believed. Why? Because they saw love. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. In other words, your love starts with your local church and then it spreads outwards. Jesus says in John 13, verse 35, they will know that you are my disciples if you love who? One another. One another. So here's some ways you can apply this, brother, sister, friend. If you are a member at PBC, and I hope that you are, if you've been here for a while, if you are, I would encourage you to get a hold of one of our membership directories and start looking at the names on those directories as real people that you are tangibly called to love. Maybe a simple way for you to start doing that is just to start praying through the membership directory. When the Scripture says, love one another, it's talking about these people in my life. If you're here and you're a regular attender, we're glad that you're here. We're not trying to make you feel unwelcome. But I would plead with you to make PBC your church home. Officially. And we're going to love you and welcome you just as much as anybody else, whether you do that or not. We're not going to treat you differently. But there's a difference between being committed to a family and visiting, isn't there? There is. The difference between dating a girl and marrying her. So I would encourage you to covenant and commit to your local church. Just keep loving specifically. Number 4. Just keep loving sacrificially. Just keep loving sacrificially. He says in verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Earnestly. Word earnestly literally means to stretch yourself out. Can I tell you something? If you love in this way, it will always hurt you. C.S. Lewis was right. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Can I tell you, love is never convenient, true love. genuine, sacrificial, agape love is never convenient. It's not. It's always the type of love that keeps you up at night. It's the type of love that forces you into situations where you're uncomfortable. It's the type of love that forces you to do that thing that's outside of your comfort zone. The type of love that forces you in that relationship with that person that's awkward and uncomfortable and you don't really connect with. Oftentimes, what we think is true sacrificial love is really just love of self, and we're doing what's comfortable for us. But biblical sacrificial love is going to stretch you. It's going to push you into relationships that you wouldn't normally be in. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have friends that you really are not at all like, and you don't really even click, but you love that person, so you're with them? You should. You should in the church family. There should be people in your life that you're taking out for meals, that you're having over to your home, that you're loving, even though it's uncomfortable and inconvenient and hurts sometimes. Love sacrificially. One of the ways to tell what you truly love is to see how much you are willing to sacrifice for what you love. Can I say something to you this morning? Holly and I were encouraged by this last night reading a devotional together. We're not talking about the big moments. We're talking about in the little moments of life. A lot of times we think, man, I'm going to do something big. I'm going to make a big sacrifice and I'm going to love somebody. And man, that's going to carry me over for the next 5 months. We don't say that, but we kind of think that. I'm just going to do something awesome and huge and this big, bold expression of love. That's kind of how I, first few years of our marriage, that's kind of the way that I treated my wife. I'd want to go. We're going to go out for real big steak dinner and we're going to do all this. I'm going to go bold, big, and huge and show you how much I love you. Boom! Now I can do what I want to do for a while. Guess what? It doesn't work. It's actually counterproductive. It doesn't help. It's better to love in the little moments. To love by finishing up the last few dishes when you really want to sit on the couch. Right? That's the type of love that speaks volume. So the type of love, not the type of love that's going to go bold, big, oh, we can do that too. But are we willing to love each other in the day-to-day, mundane, little things of life? Love sacrificially. Just keep loving sacrificially. Just keep loving corporately. Just keep loving corporately. I want you to imagine that I say to my three oldest children, the youngest is only 11 months, so she can't get this yet. But to the three older children, all right, Jonah, Zoe, Phoebe, I want you all to work together and clean up the entire toy room. You notice a lot of my illustrations are about cleaning the toy room. Eventually we'll get there, but we're working on it. So all three of you, Jonah, Zoe, Phoebe, here's what I'm saying. I want all three of you to work together and clean up the toy room. Now, here's what happens. Jonah and Zoe clean the toy room, and Phoebe is over here, la la la, doing her own thing. I come back 5 minutes later, the toy room's clean. Did they obey my commandment? No. Now, I'm not going to freak out about it. But technically, although they accomplished the goal, they didn't do it in the right way. Can I tell you something? When Peter says here, just keep loving one another earnestly, here's what he's literally saying. All of you, just keep loving one another earnestly together. In other words, if you love, but over here they're not loving, we haven't done it. We've got to do it together. We've got to be loving each other together. That means that if you're not struggling with this, you have a heart overflowing with love, and you're loving people like crazy, you're doing it, you're having people into your home, you're giving, you're serving, but over here someone's struggling to love. We've not yet fulfilled the commandment unless we get alongside them and help them to love too. Just keep loving corporately. We've got to do this together. Just keep loving joyfully. Look at verse 9. Paul gives us an example of love, the discipline of hospitality, welcoming people into your home, caring for them. And notice what he says in verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. See, some of us here, we're tracking with all this. We've got it, but we're going to complain the whole time we do it. And Peter says, nope, doesn't work. This week, it's my wife's birthday. And I'm going to come home from work on Wednesday, and I'm going to give her a bouquet of flowers. I already spoiled the surprise. I'm going to give her a bouquet of flowers, and she's going to say, thanks, babe. And I'm going to say, these things are so darn expensive. It's ridiculous. Happy birthday. Right? And then I give her presents, and the whole time, I hate wrapping presents. I'm sick of this. I hope you have a great time. And you have such specific tastes for your cake. This is ridiculous, but it sure looks great. It's going to be great. That is not loving. Right? We get that. That's not loving. Loving while you're complaining and grumbling is not love. It's selfishness. And so, we're called to love joyfully. You see how specific our God is? He doesn't just say, I want you to do these things over here. I want you to do them in this way with this attitude. Ouch. It's beginning to reveal just how sinful we really are, isn't it? We're called to love each other joyfully. Here's maybe a practical tip to help us to love each other joyfully. Hold your place in 1 Peter chapter 4, and go with me to the left to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look at the example of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at what it says. Jesus, there's joy set in front of him. He endures the cross, despising the shame, so that he can be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think through this for just a second. What is the joy that is set before Jesus? It's not the cross itself, is it? The cross, it's hard. The cross is painful. The cross is agonizing. Before going to the cross, he prays, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So when it says there's joy in front of Jesus, the joy is not enduring the cross. That's the shame. The joy is on the other side of the cross, isn't it? The joy is when the cross is over and the resurrection is over and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. After crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's with the Father again. That's the joy. So how does Jesus love joyfully? He looks past the shame and the sorrow and the difficulty and he looks on the other side of it and he puts his focus there. So when it's hard for you to love that church member that drives you crazy, you look past the difficulty and you look to glory, where you will be alongside that brother, that sister for eternity. You look beyond the difficulty of how much that sacrifice is going to hurt you, and you remind yourself that we are called not to store up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but to lay up treasures in heaven, where thieves can't break in and steal. You look beyond the difficulty and the shame and the pain and you look to glory. That's how we can love joyfully. Let's just keep loving uniquely. Uniquely. We don't all love the same way, do we? I love again how Peter gives us another example of love in the local church. He says in verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Here's what he's saying. Some of you have gifts of speaking. Some of you have gifts of serving. Use your gift to love your neighbor, to love your brother and sister. You don't, for you, Christian, for some of you, loving in the local church, just keep loving for you. That might be continuing to teach that Sunday school class. Oh, that might be continuing to serve and use that gift for the body. That might be something for one person, but something else for somebody different. Right? We don't all have the same gifts. This doesn't excuse us. This doesn't mean you can say, well, oh good, I don't have the gift of giving, so I don't have to give to anybody. Great. Good for me. Right? It doesn't mean that you can say, well, I don't have the gift of nursery, so I don't ever have to work with kids. Right? It doesn't mean that you can say those things. What it does mean is that you are free to give and serve and love the way that God made you. Jesus didn't save you and turn you into somebody completely different. You're still you. But He's going to change you slowly to be a you that you would never recognize now, because now Christ is living in you. So, what are your gifts, Christian? Are you using your gifts and loving uniquely according to the way that God has designed you? Some of you are great conversationalists. And you can really show people you love them by having them over for coffee, having them out to eat, and just spending time with them and listening to them. And some of you, man, if I did that with you, it would be awful. Just kidding. If you did that with me, it would be awful. You'd be like, man, this person, you can't communicate. I don't feel loved. And you're going to serve that person, and then they'll feel loved. Right? Some of you are wonderful servants. You can work with your hands. So you might not be able to hold a great conversation and listen to somebody and make them feel loved, but you can help around the house. Or maybe you can give. Or there's something else that God has gifted you with. Every single person in this room that's a follower of Jesus, you have been given gifts that you can use to love the people around you. Are we doing that? Are we using them? Just keep loving uniquely. Finally, just keep loving supernaturally. If you look at all this and you say, this is really, really hard, you're absolutely right. It is. It's hard to just keep loving. Some of you, anybody watch the New Year's Eve ball drop last night? Anybody? Okay, like one of you. All right. I didn't actually watch this part, but this morning I saw that Mariah Carey had a moment last night. Apparently she was singing and just something happened and she just couldn't do it anymore, and the lip syncing track is still going, and she just basically walks off the stage because she can't hear herself, and it's just a horrible thing. She's like, I'm done. Some of you are having a Mariah Carey moment in your love. Okay? You're starting this, maybe you started okay, and it's getting tough, and everybody's seeing, man, this person's not very good at loving people, and you're just like, I'm gonna check out, walk off the stage, I'm done. I want to plead with you. This is supposed to be hard. You don't have it within yourself to do this. Notice verse 11. He says, if you're going to speak or if you're going to serve, whoever speaks, speak as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You can't love this way, but God can love that way through you. And here's the thing. If you try to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and love the people in your life this way, you're going to fail every single time. And even if you think you kind of get there, who gets the glory? You do. But if God does it through you, and God is the one giving you the strength, and God is the one that you're relying on, and every day you're praying, God, this person's hard to love, help me to love them, and you actually love them, Who gets the glory? God does. Because He's the one that did it through you. So we love supernaturally. Let me show you this and then we'll close. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a very similar passage to the one we're in chapter 4. But in verse 22, Peter says this, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart." Notice verse 23. "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." Brother, sister, how can you love this way if you have been made new? Because the old you can't love this way. The old you can only love yourself this way. But if you have been remade, if you have been born again, if by grace through faith you have been made alive, resurrected by the gospel of Jesus Christ, then it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And Christ in you can love. If you have been born again, Christian, and it's hard for you to love right now, I want to remind you that if God rose Jesus from the dead, and if Christ resides in you, then you can love through His Spirit. Christians, just keep loving. Let's pray.